You're listening to Front Porch Theology, a podcast of New Heights Church. We laugh, we argue, we carry on. So welcome to our front porch. Have a seat and let's get into it.
Welcome to Front Porch Theology. What was that?
You're going to do that again.
Sorry, just go ahead.
Welcome to the Front Porch Theology Podcast. I'm Heather, your host, and I'm here with...
Jeremy.
And Will.
Listeners... Let me just say, Jeremy and I are being forced against their will, because that's what force means, to sit here in the room with Will Basham today.
Against your will.
Which, here's the thing, it was like,
I don't have enough time for you guys today.
And Mr. So we Busy. He's Mr. Busy.
I'm Mr. Busy.
And then he goes to a Zoom meeting. He gets abandoned by all of his Zoom buddies, all the Zoomers. Yeah. And then he wants to come back in here, and we're like, what? He sets himself up a little chair.
That has completely thrown off the whole room, by the
really,
way.
Like my...
This is where Baker told me to put the chair. This is...
Actually, he told you to put it out of the out on the
he's
stage.
He's the production guy. He said, put the chair there.
All I'm saying is, this is ridiculous.
I'm mad. Usually my chair is already here for me. I had to put my own chair out. What is this?
Well, listen. This reminds me of inconsiderate. He's not being considerate of what we had planned. Right?
Thank you.
Which is why I want to read something. I want to read a statement.
Okay.
I witnessed something today that really put this on my mind. Go ahead. Play the music, Baker. Okay. Set the vibe right. Yeah. Okay. Dear Starbucks worker, I acknowledge the labor of your hands as you craft a sensational dessert mixed with the finest ingredients like a culinary wizard. I can see the blisters brought by frappies and lattes and mochas and teas, cakes, muffins, scones with a strawberry breeze. You bring smiles to the faces of the multitude that gather. You caffeinate, bringing productivity and laughter. You send our taste buds on a whirlwind of adventure by gifting us with a sweet tooth quencher. Starbucks worker, I see you stirring. Whipping and blending and grinding all sorts of fluids, purely delighting, except those whose joy is barren, like the woman this morning, who shall be known as Karen. When levied a query about banana bread, your answer was, sweet sugar so much you bled. How is your banana bread? She asked with sass. It's great. I eat it all the time. You replied gently with a smile and with impeccable style. Not knowing this Karen was mean and vile, her grin crawled across her face like the serpent of old. Oh, I can tell. She hissed and trolled. She turned too proud, galloping off to her car. But you didn't take vengeance or curse her from afar. You smile and pity shook your head. For that nasty witch may look alive, but inside she's dead. Do not take worry about what venom that snake spew. I see you, Starbucks worker. And I speak for all of us, even the ungrateful. Thank you.
That was very touching.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I just had to get that off my chest.
You didn't know he was doing that, Heather?
I am ashamed to be sitting beside him right now.
Wait, there was a great tragedy this morning. The start, she woman said, "Is this banana bread any good?" And she said, "Yeah, I eat it all the time." And she looked up and down at her like, she went, "Oh, I can tell," and then walked away.
What a savage Karen!
I know.
Well,
if I had still had my mace,
oh,
what would you have done?
Probably. I didn't want to work it.
I'd like to know what you would have done.
I'm just saying it was rude. It was extremely... Claire looked at me and was like, what?
How dare you compare me to someone like that?
I don't know what you're talking
never,
about.
I would never say something like that to anyone.
You literally looked at me the first time you met, and you said, but yes, you have sleep apnea and diabetes.
Hey, do you remember that time he asked me if I was pregnant?
Yep, I do.
I was right about all these occurrences.
You
were pregnant. You
I was
do
not.
Have sleep
I don't
apnea.
Have diabetes.
I was
I
not
mean,
pregnant.
You did no, I for a little while.
No, you don't. That's not how it works, pal.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I did have some member who said that to me. You look like you have sleep apnea.
Yes. And I'm like, just so the listeners know, it wasn't me.
Yeah, that was a real quote. And I was like,
I did think it was funny, though.
It was a savage. But she didn't know it was savage. She was just talking.
So is that today's topic that we're talking about? Like rude things
Starbucks
to say?
Starbucks workers, not. Why you should unionize.
What's this book you got, Heather? You have a whole book.
It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life.
Ooh.
Who wrote it?
Heather Cook.
Donald Whitney.
And Donald Whitney. He's great. He's with CCEF sometimes.
I don't know who he is.
Okay, well.
So, while you've been away, Wilbert.
It's good to be back. I've missed you guys.
Yeah, we don't really care. We're still upset right now.
I listened to the episodes of you guys trashing me.
Again, we don't care.
Trashing would mean that we said something untrue. We were speaking truth. And listen, if I've learned anything in the past 24 hours, there's the true side and there's the false side. Yeah. Right?
You're on the true side.
We're speaking truth
Team
to power.
Truth.
We're speaking truth to power.
True or false, Wilbert?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did you go to a conference last week?
Yes.
True or false?
I feel like I'm on a lie detector test.
True or false? Did you take our guest who was supposed to be on the podcast from last week?
True.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's it. That's true.
True or false, Wilbert? Did he feed you?
True. He did feed me.
Oh. No lies were detected from last week's episode.
But you said I had massages, and I think strawberries was the fruit that was mentioned. I didn't eat a single strawberry.
All right.
I did have a massage.
Maybe I was saying you need to.
No, I didn't get any massages, nor did I eat any strawberries.
All right. Did you work?
Yeah. I worked.
Whoa, it showed up wrong. It showed the lie detector said false.
Lie one.
Oh. So he just
did work.
He went on a little vacay.
Yeah.
It was a workcation.
True or false, Wilbert?
Okay.
Will you be leaving again in 2 weeks to go
on another
conference?
False. It's 1 week.
True
it's
or,
next week.
True or false, Wilbert? Will you not be going again in 3 weeks to the Acts 29 conference?
That is true. I will be going to Dallas, Fort Worth, Irving, somewhere around there.
There you have it, folks. Line backstabber.
But I miss you guys. Every time I'm gone. Every time I'm gone, I miss y'all.
So, to our guests today, William.
Yes.
The first question we ask our guests is, are you arrogant or hairy?
I'm both.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. That's right.
It was true. So, well.
I've seen you in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say you're like a hairy back or nothing.
No, I'm not. I have a beard.
Yeah. You have your face.
Yeah.
Your mug.
Facially hairy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you have hairy feet?
No.
I mean, we
have hairy feet.
I didn't want an explanation of all
my
this.
My shins, though. Baby smooth.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Starbucks worker.
Oh my gosh.
This has been brought to you by Starbucks.
So you didn't say anything to that woman?
I told her thank you, and I said, I'm sorry.
I'm not talking about that woman. I'm talking about the rude woman.
I mean, I don't know what to say to people like that. In the car, I said, when you meet Karens, you just stay away from them. You just dodge them.
So you told your children that?
Yeah, stay, don't get
in. But you didn't confront the woman who was the
rude one.
There's
no reason to confront people like that. They're crazy, and that won't resolve nothing. All I'm going to do is end up yelling at this
lady. Are you calling her crazy because she's a woman?
No, I think the other lady that was across the counter was wonderful. She was very sweet.
Detect a law. Okay. So, William, while you've been away, I decided we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines with our guests the next, month or so that you're gone.
Yeah.
So, we had Jamie Elkins on the last two podcast episodes, and we covered silence and solitude. Jamie and I covered serving. So, today we're going to talk about... It's interesting how it's phrased, Bible intake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about what it means to read your Bible. I want to talk about scripture memory. I want to talk about being engaged in a community that supports this, like our Bible studies that we're holding right now at our church. I want to talk about, we've talked about it before, so we don't need to touch on it again, like different versions of the Bible, like... I think we've probably talked about that 65 times.
I can explain that. Sorry if you can hear. We have some construction going on.
There's an alien ship outside. Sorry about that. So I want to talk about a little bit of everything, okay? And this can just kind of be a back and forth between all of us. And it's... I want to say bad words. It's okay. So let's talk about it. How important is Bible intake for a believer?
Well, it's very important. And let me explain why. I will say, I don't know why you're laughing. I'm being very serious right now. So my father-in-law has a sermon that he would tell you he has like two sermons. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't. But one of his big themes, and he's told me this since I've known him, and this is before he like had like conversations with me. Like I think before he liked me. Again, I was a weirdo when he first met me. I think he was hoping I was like a gay friend or something. But...
Oh my.
But I'm going somewhere with this.
Strike one.
He would say garbage in, garbage out, right? What you put in is what comes out.
Yeah.
So he would say, you know, it's like a keyboard. You type what you put in, your input is your output. And so I think that as Christians, we are I think we are fooling ourselves if we think that we can not consume scripture and be godly men and women pursuing holy lives. I think it's a foolish thing. I think secondly, there's just real quick, there's a Will wants to talk. He loves talking. But I think that the second part of it is if we say like we love the Lord and we want him, we want to know his will. Well, the easiest way to do that is to read his word, to listen to what he says. And I think those two like things go hand in hand. And of course, but yeah, it's a natural thing, hopefully, for the Christian to do. Go ahead, Will.
That was well said.
Thank you.
I don't know that I could add to that.
You'll try.
Yeah, I'll try. So most recently I've studied in Hebrews how he...
Hebrews?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The author of Hebrews exhorts his audience to move from milk to solid food. Mm. And so not only should we, over the course of our lives, increase our intake, not just in quantity, but like the depth of it as well. So like we should love rich study of the Bible. Mm. And I think too, it's important to think about like the awesome privilege we have to have the word so accessible. It's never been as accessible as it is today.
Yeah.
I mean, we carry it around in our phone, on our phones, you know, in our pockets every day. And, think of like the 1700s when they had to carry the big
scrolls out.
Well, they had books then, but they were like the giant books and they were more expensive. And but yeah, before that, you know, in medieval times, you know, like scrolls and dealing with all that, it's just the massive opportunity and privilege that we have to have the Word of God at all times just available to us, and we just ignore it a lot.
I'm reading the book right now by J.P. Polkta, I believe is his last name.
J.P. Polkta?
J.P.
J.P. Polkta. You know J.P. Polkta.
Never heard of her.
Oh, okay.
Him.
Actually, it's by Donald Whitney. But.
No, I don't. Okay. It's called Why Do I Do the Things I Don't Want to Do? And he actually, a chapter that I was reading yesterday while we were on the road traveling back from Cincinnati, he actually brought up that passage in Hebrews. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about reading the Bible. And he was talking about how there's a lot of times that even as believers that we can be having gospel input. But it's not necessarily the Bible. Like, it's just spiritual things. Like, he even talked about him reading his book. Like, you cannot use these things as substitutes. Right. They're meant to supplement, not substitute the word. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. So, we've talked about reading your Bible and different ways to read your Bible and reading plans and stuff. So, let's talk a little bit about, there's different ways that you can get input. Hearing, seeing, doing and applying be the same thing. But so let's talk about hearing the word. why is it so important to hear the word?
I think it. I mean, I think it gives us the Lord's commands, His good law. It shows us right and wrong. It exhorts us to good works. It exhorts us to abstain from sin. The comparison of milk and food is a good analogy because it is the it's the fuel that keeps us going in a Christian walk. And so, like, hearing the word is a way that we actually see our own deficiencies and our need for Christ and our need for worship and communion with God. And so, you know, I love the analogy. Is it in James? I think it's in James where he talks about, like, when we look into the word, it's like looking into a mirror. And so, like, we can see, is my hair messed up, or, you know, is my face all disheveled? Do I need to put some stuff in order? Just like when we wake up in the morning and we get ready for the day, yeah. My beard's pointing all different directions. I gotta comb that mess down. And so, like, the word shows us, you know, where we are not being obedient or doing what we ought to. And so hearing the word allows us to see who we truly are.
All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
I think the passage in Proverbs is really good too. Lean not into your own understanding. Like, I think we're just such depraved people that if we are not in a community where we hear the word, which would be going to church, being a part of the local body, then that can, you know, we often misinterpret and abuse scripture in that way. And that's, you know, just to kind of counteract that thought of I can be a Christian without going to the church.
Yeah. Can I tell you a story?
Oh,
we have time for a story?
We absolutely do.
Apparently, time for everybody to have a little spill of stuff. So,
yeah, I don't have a poem.
Please.
I don't need music for my story.
Listen, a
little bit of music might be nice for my story.
Okay, go ahead.
Baker, can
put on that thing by J.P. Pakluda.
Do the story music.
Yeah. Oh, this is good.
All right, so once upon a time, I was in Serbia, in Belgrade, which is the most bombed city in the history of the world. And I was there for one of my many conferences that I go to. And so I'm there, and I had Bella with me, my oldest child. And she was probably 11 at the time, maybe 10. But we're there for this conference. And one of the things I found so striking and intriguing was the European mindset of history is completely different than the American mindset of history, because their history goes back so much further. So, like, where we're only going back 200 years, they're thinking of their ancestors and their locality as being back to, like, medieval times. You know, they've got buildings in their cities that are so much older than our country even. And so what that caused was, and it was noticeable, was when they talked about church history, there was a much older focus. And what that led to at this conference, one particular speaker was talking about a scripture reading. And instead of just going back to, like, how, like, in America, we would talk about, like, how, like, the revivalists of the Great Awakening used scripture or whatever, he went back to where scripture wasn't even translated into the common language of the ancestors of the Serbian area and different countries in that area. And what it intrigued me about was, he asked a question. He said, "Do you think you should read your Bible every day?" Or I think he phrased it, do you have to read your Bible every day? And we're all like, yeah, that's probably a good thing to do. And then he brought us around to the point of people that literally couldn't, because they were either illiterate or there was no translation into their language. And so they had to be dependent on someone to translate it verbally or orally to them. And so they literally had to hear the word. And he used that to illustrate the hunger that those saints of medieval times had. That we just don't have. Yeah. We don't hunger for that. So it's like they longed to go to the church because they weren't able to read scripture through the week. Yeah. They didn't read at all. So we got to go to church and we want to not just hear the words of the priest or the preacher, but, like, we want to hear God's word. And so we're going to go to church.
Yeah, you didn't mean to Deuteronomy 6, kind of what you're saying, which is, you know, it's calling people to, you know, to store the word in their heart. But most of them couldn't read. They didn't have scrolls.
Yeah, so, like, memory was huge. So, right. Like, memorizing the word of God was not let alone having access to have scrolls or whatever, but like
they didn't have chapter verses or anything
right,
like that.
They had to just memorize the word of God, and that stuck with me. So
and that really kind of puts things in perspective for you. Just
well, the music helped.
Yeah,
it was a nice touch.
JP Polduck or whatever you said over there, mispronouncing the gentleman's name.
It's Pakluda.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, poo.
I love JP Pakluda.
Oh, do you really?
I do. He's blonde? My favorite book he wrote. Oh, what's the one you said?
Why do I?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Why do I do the things I?
I hate you.
Yeah. I don't want to do. I love that. Why do you hate? I'm literally saying that. Mr. Pakluda's
I'm glad
great.
You love it because when I'm finished with it, it's going to go on your bookshelf like all the other books that I read do.
Yeah.
So you'll have your own copy.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, what you said kind of leads into the next portion of that. So, obviously, we can't know. Most of us can't know. I'm sure there are some circumstances in our society today and the communities that we live in right now. We can't really know the importance of hearing the scripture in that way. And we honestly, I don't think even if we could fathom it, unless we were put in the circumstances that they were, or in our own circumstances, it'd be really hard for us to understand how important it is. Why is it important for modern day believers, us, our kids, our neighbors, to memorize and meditate on scripture?
Well, I think it's, first off, I think we're called to, but I think to counteract lies that you're going to tell yourself. I think the counteract lies that you tell yourself, the counteract lies that you hear from outside yourself. I think those are my reasons.
No, I think that's good. I really struggle with memorizing things. Number one, I don't like it. I think it's a horrible thing to practice memory. Like just for my own taste, I struggle with it. But what I found is even if I don't try to memorize things, if I read them repetitively or if I love them, then I'll memorize them. And so I think memorization particularly is a sign of you actually valuing the Word of God. It tends to come naturally because I'm someone that doesn't try to memorize Scripture, and I still do because I love Scripture. But then meditation on the Word is, you know, just this deep thought to slow down and study the Word deeply and actually like pray through Scripture is really helpful. Because it makes Scripture not just an academic thing. I think, you know, Theo Bros tend to just make Scripture just this, like, I want to develop my theology and then use it as a weapon against people who don't have my same theology, when we forget that, like, the Word of God is breathed out to correct us, not just to correct others. And so it's helpful for us in our relationship and our walk with Christ to, like, to be quiet sometimes, to read Scripture and then just sit and be quiet and pray and think about it and let it correct you.
I like the play on words that you just said. That's it's like the things that's happening in my head right now, not that anybody has said, but I bought a book probably about a year ago, and it's called Breath Prayers. And it's talking about how you can just in different circumstances use Scripture for when you're overwhelmed, for when you're stressed, for when you're anxious, for when you're just driving and you just like, today is such a beautiful day. I have my windows down on the way here. It's nice spring air. Just being able to take a deep breath in, because that's what being mindful and meditating is. It's just slowing down to be able to appreciate the things around you. And, you know, I often use Scripture for those breath prayers just to be able to just to say thank you for the creation that you, just today. So this book that I told you, that I told Jeremy about a while ago, because he was being nosy asking about, it was you being nosy asking about my book.
Yeah, I was just
the
curious.
Donald S. Whitney. So it actually walks through several different spiritual disciplines. He actually has several different methods, probably about 12 or 15 for like memorizing different scriptures and meditating and stuff like that, that's a bit much, in my opinion. But I guess you kind of have to figure out your own way. So
Whitney's kind of intense. I mean, like, yeah, I've not read that particular book. He wrote the book on family worship.
He did.
Yeah. So he's, I mean, just his personality is very, like, meticulous.
Yeah.
I can tell just by reading his writing. He's a very organized guy.
You know? This is kind of, this is hard for me to read just because I'm not used to his, you know,
I think there's a great grace in that the Bible doesn't give us instructions on, like, our daily rhythms necessarily. Yeah. It gives us, like, gives us a weekly rhythm in the Sabbath, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, but I've taken that, like, medieval times, like, European experience of, like, there were generations of people that didn't have access to Scripture and couldn't read the Bible. But, like, seeing that as a great grace that, like, God's not mad at me if I go a day without reading the Bible. Because, like, I tend to do better in larger chunks. I tend to do better, like, on a day off where I'm not running 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, take an hour or more and just sit down and read a larger chunk of Scripture, especially if I'm reading narrative in the Old Testament, things like that. And so, like, I might read more Scripture in a week by reading one or two days a week than someone who might read
daily.
Every day. Yeah. And so it's like, I think it's what I advise people in our church is, like, do what works for you. Like, you should read Scripture. You should look to the Word. Like, maybe you listen to Scripture because you're not a great reader.
Absolutely.
Or you don't enjoy reading. But, like, whatever you can do for that Bible intake, you need to do something. Figure out what works for you and what's realistic and what you'll actually do, and then do that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's also, it's nice to have someone, like, I know you and I will, like, if there's something in Scripture that I, hey, am I crazy about this, or like an ID or something to bounce someone off of, like, I know I've called Will and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be your spouse too, but, you know, maybe they don't care as much about that area, but, like, someone in your life that you can even talk to about Scripture. Cause that, even though that's not, like, there was the other day when I called him up and I was talking about Hebrews 6 and, I'm talking about it and reading parts of it. Now, that's not doing, like, a devo, so to speak, but we're both hearing Scripture,
yeah.
Right? We're both discussing it and we're still entertaining it. And I think things like that's really helpful. So I'm going to tell you about a rhythm that I have in the shower.
Oh.
Yeah. So I like
Baker, can you give us some rhythm
music?
Yeah,
okay, here we go. All right. Okay, let me get my, like, midnight R&B voice going.
Oh, yes. All
right, what I do when I'm taking a shower, I like to listen to, like, not debate per se, but, like, biblical conversations between two people that are friends, right? I don't like debates as much. But, like, they'll be discussing a scripture or a topic, and I find that really, really wonderful thing to do, and a really easy way to, like, hear Scripture and hear different perspectives and entertain it in my own head. I just think that's a great time to do it, you know, as you're washing.
That's it. Well,
so
that's.
I have questions.
That's weird.
Where are you hearing this conversation?
My phone.
Is it happening in your head?
No,
are you spying on
the people in the shower with me?
No, I take my phone in the shower.
Are you listening in on someone else's conversation?
I set my phone and
up, stop.
I'm being serious.
You FaceTime someone.
But people, listen. Jeremy Ball is FaceTime. It's at head level. And if Jeremy FaceTimes Jeremy Ball, and you FaceTime me before,
I've done this before.
And yeah. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like,
Well, I think you FaceTime me from the shower, and
he
I answered.
You had
and
a question.
He
had a question about Hebrews 6.
I just found
6.
Something out that you got to hear.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Speaking of, I have another poem.
No.
No?
Put it down. Put the clipboard down.
All right, I'll put it down.
On the table.
So I would eliminate the shower. That's just my personal advice.
You wouldn't listen to something in the shower?
No. Wait a minute. Let me finish my thought. So, like, I was going to say the thing you're listening to in the shower is a good way to get Scripture more ingrained in your mind, but don't do it with people in the shower. Unless you're married to them, then you
can do that.
He doesn't
recommend following someone like
you.
Don't get in the shower with your friend to talk about the Bible.
Yeah, I thought I made that clear. I don't do that. Yeah. My shower's not big enough.
No, I was just saying, like,
you did not make it clear. That's why I asked.
We've talked to a lot of people, like, just through pastoral care that struggle either with devotion with their kids or devotion with their spouse, because we just put too much pressure on it. We think it's got to be like we got to write an outline and we have to have a game and an activity. And,
have a song.
Yeah, a song that goes with it. And we just put too much pressure on it. And I think sometimes the most beautiful devotion can be like, your kid read something, if they're old enough to read, like on their own, and you read it separately and you talk about what you learned from it. Or like, this is really good with your spouse. So like, instead of doing like a small group guide or a devotion or like just you and your spouse read the same thing and then just talk about it. Yeah. Like, what'd you observe in it? What'd you like about it? What questions or what things do you not understand? And just kind of talk through those things.
Yeah, that's good. Now, I like what you all have been kind of, what you all have been saying the last few, like, little questions that I've had, because there, I think a lot of times there's a lot of shame wrapped up in people thinking that they have to read their Bible a perfect way or a perfect time. And what you said earlier, Will, like it's for every person. Like it might be in devotion time, or it might be when you're sitting on your lunch break and you have 30 minutes to read your Bible.
Yeah.
And you only get, you're only working like 3 days a week or something. I think I always felt that growing. Why are you smiling?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
You thinking about the shower? Or the...
Listen, I had a joke, and I was trying to hold it back. I held it back. And,
yeah, don't tell. If you held it back, don't tell.
Right. I was doing good, and then you want to know. If you see me smiling over, you're like... then just, if I didn't just keep going, you don't just...
It's distracting.
Well, sorry.
It's not as distracting as the NASCAR pit stop that's happening over my shoulder here in the other room.
I really hope our listeners can hear it all. Otherwise, it just sounds like we're
crazy.
Well,
if our listeners can't hear it, that's exactly what it sounds like. It really sounds they're in pit road and they're getting 4 new tires and 14 gallons of gas.
That's a NASCAR reference.
Yeah.
Pit row?
Yeah, I've been into NASCAR lately.
Really?
Yeah.
Lately or all your life?
Lately. It's a new thing. Baker's been helping me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, dude, who's that NASCAR driver from last week? What was his name?
I think you ask him this every week.
What's his name? It's not...
Every week.
No, what's his name? What's his name? Not. I know Dick Trickle. He doesn't race anymore. He's my favorite. There was another one, I thought, that had a fun name. I like the NASCAR drivers with a fun name.
Me and Baker went to Outback to get a free Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah.
And we found out Kevin Harvick retired, you can't get the free Bloomin' Onions anymore. Yeah.
Tragedy.
That they went to lunch without you?
No. That wasn't tragedy. It was
a dream come true.
It was actually really sad because they were like, hey, everybody, let's all go to lunch. Staff lunch. Let's go. And then, like, it was just them two. We all just ate behind.
So that's the thing.
It's like that meeting.
Just to bring it all full circle.
They had with you, huh?
He gripes about me abandoning him or going somewhere without him.
Is this what we're
going
to do?
But then when I'm like, hey, let's go to lunch.
All right. Let me give a slight rebuttal. Not all of us. Can afford Outback for a lunch,
come
right?
On.
I'm just saying.
They have a $9.99 all you can eat soup and salad.
Listen, all I'm saying is,
that was conference deal. Sorry,
yeah,
you weren't a part of it.
Right,
conference perk. Not for you.
He's in on it. I'm just saying.
You guys, you kill me. Go read your Bible.
Well, to our listeners, I would say I hope you learned something, but I don't even know
why you keep listening.
Why you keep listening?
Treat the Starbucks worker with respect. That's all I'm saying.
That's
our takeaway for today.
I mean, honestly, it really is. Jeremy gave a very passionate speech.
Don't body shame your Starbucks.
Don't body shame anybody. Barista. Anybody. Don't be asking nobody if they're pregnant.
And another takeaway from today, it's frappy, not frappe. I've been pronouncing it wrong all this
frappy.
Time.
Yeah, it's frappy.
Did he say frappy?
Yeah, he said it is. Frappy.
It's a frappy.
I'm sorry, I zoned out. I was over here saying a lot of stuff in my head.
When I frappy. Order, I'm like, I want a mocha frappy.
Wow.
Oh, Mom.
That's how you say it. I'm a mocha frappy.
Well, to our listeners, thank you for listening. Still. Next week, we will be taking a break to observe Holy Week, and we will be back the following week with a guest that is not Will Basham. So, thanks for listening.
I can't wait to hear it. Sorry, I interrupted your ending there. I didn't think you were done yet.
Big jerkwad.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, submit them on the New Heights Church app, and we'll catch you next time. Watch for deer.